All right, so our topic is pod slurping. When we originally looked through the list of projects to do, this was the only technical one that involved us actually doing something other than research. So that's why we chose this. Who are we? I'm Kevin Slonka. I'm a software engineer. Roel Adams, information security engineer. So together we figured our skill sets would be great to do pod slurping because it involves some code in addition to some research. Okay, so what is pod slurping? Most of you probably never heard of it before. Pod slurping, this came from the Wikipedia page on pod slurping. It's the act of using a portable data storage device such as an iPod or digital audio player to illicitly download files from a computer that it is plugged into. Now, it's pretty important to know that pod slurping can be done with a USB stick. It can be done with an iPod. That's why it got the name pod slurping, because it was initially done with iPods. Any device that is writable storage that you can plug into a machine can be a pod slurper. If you want to lug around an external hard drive, that's a pod slurper if you have the software on it. So anything that you can write data to.
A lot of people use these SD cards
for cameras. If you have the slots on the side of your monitor and the front of your computers, those can work as well. As the storage devices become smaller and the capacity becomes greater, they're an even bigger security risk because people cannot detect them. You can just put them in your pocket, inside your wallet. You know, they're not as easily seen as a large external hard drive. And the third point about pod slurping that we want to make is that usually this is done by physical access to a computer when somebody leaves the computer unattended. So I'm sure you've all heard in some of your security briefings here at CTC, lock before you walk. Now, that's something we tried to push a lot in the ISPO, and this is one of the big reasons why anybody could come up, and I'm sure you all have USB ports on the back of your computer, whether it's a laptop or a desktop. Anybody could come up, plug in their device, walk away. You never know it's there. Come back a couple hours later, take it. They now have all your data. So in essence, that's what pod slurping is. All right, so what's the vulnerability? Like I just said, hosts are often left unattended. You get up, go to the bathroom, you go get some coffee. Can't stress how important it is to Windows L before you get up from your machine and walk away so that somebody can't come in and do things. You know, there's worse things that can be done than somebody opening up your email and sending a, you know, I hate you email to Ed Sheehan. Now, we did that a lot. Hosts allow USB storage devices to be connected.
Who is Ed Sheehan?
He's the CEO of CTC.
I was wondering if that was the case.
Yeah. Hosts allow USB storage devices to be connected. So by default, any Windows machine can accept a USB device. Especially with Windows XP and newer machines, they have all kinds of drivers already there. As soon as you plug it in, it's automatically detected, becomes a drive letter, and is usable. A lot of things that we're going to talk about, some companies actually disable this. It is possible to disable removable storage devices over USB, but by default, machines are wide open to USB devices. Auto run is rarely disabled. Just like you plug in you put in a CD-ROM into your machine, the auto setup opens, and do you want to install? The same thing can happen to USB devices, and will if your USB device is configured with an auto run file. We're going to show some of that later. Last vulnerability, users are stupid. I'm sure that if you guys didn't know we were going to do a presentation on pod slurping, we could have said, hey, plug this in, get my file off it, and email it to me because I don't have internet on my computer. And while you're getting my file off of my device, it's downloading your data. Could have done it to anybody in here if you didn't know we were doing this. And it's just human nature. You know, you're going to take something and plug it in. You know, Kevin Mitnick, he did something very similar to this back in the day with a floppy disk. He wrote salaries.xls on a floppy disk, left it inside a company, walked away for the day. Somebody put that into their machine, it backdoored them, sent the data to him. You know, it's not technically pod slurping, but it's a form of users being stupid. You'll plug anything into your machine if you see it. So how do you mitigate the risk? What can we do to make sure that you are not pod slurped? One thing, control physical access. I already said, lock before you walk. If you're using computers with sensitive information, put them behind closed doors. A lot of you are probably aware, you know, classified machines, they're behind multiple locks and keys. But physical access controlling is a very important part. Don't let people muddle around on the back of your computer. That's never good. Disabling USB in the BIOS. Now, you can disable all USB devices on your machine, but like the point up here we have, that also disables keyboards and mice and useful things that you want to have on your machines. But it is possible to only disable storage devices over USB, and in some operating systems, it's even possible to disable specific storage devices. So if your company approves the Kingston 16 gigabyte drive for company use, they can allow you to only plug in that and write to it. All other devices will not be detected and not be loaded. There are third-party utilities to disable the use of storage devices. That's for the operating systems that can't do this natively, like Vista. Vista has group policy settings that will allow you to specifically configure which USB devices you allow and disallow. You should implement policies on the host to disable auto-run. Now, you can implement policies to disable auto-run completely. You can turn off auto-run for a CD-ROM. You can turn off auto-run for a USB drive. You can be very specific in these policies, and that's something that should be done. And the last point of mitigating the risk, training. You know, you can't fix stupid. Like I said, people are going to plug things in, but if you pound it into their head enough that they should not plug in random things, don't know what it is, eventually people will get the point and they'll start doing things the right way. All right, so one point of technical mitigation. I already said about the group policies. Here's how you do one of them. So disabling autoplay, it's pretty simple. On an XP machine, you open up the group policy console, gpedit.msc, and you navigate to local computer policy, computer configuration, administrator template system, turn off autoplay, and you have two options. First, you set it to enabled, and then you tell it what you want autoplay to be turned off on. The choices are all drives and CD-ROM drives. So that's a simple first step anybody can do right now if you have administrative privileges. Now, like I said, that's only CD-ROM and USB. If you go into the registry, you can be a lot more detailed. So you can actually enable write protecting of USB devices. So if you have a USB thumb drive with data on it you need to read, you can allow anybody to read that, just not write to the drive. So the registry key up there, write protect equals 1, that enables write protecting so that you can read from a drive but not write to it. And you can also completely disable the USB storage driver for being loaded. That way you can still use things like USB keyboards and mice, but just not even reading or writing USB drives. And that's the USB storage driver registry key there. And that also involves a change to a couple files, an INF file and a PNF file. Remove those from your system or rename them, and Windows will no longer load the drivers for USB storage devices. Okay, so now that we said how you can go about fixing the risk, let's talk about how you exploit this vulnerability. So we're going to go over three approaches. First approach is the social engineering approach, kind of like I explained earlier with Kevin Mitnick and the way he tricked people into giving him their files. The second approach is going to be the fully automated approach, and this is going to be something where you plug it in, walk away, come back, everything's there for you. And the last approach is kind of the cool one. It plays video games, seriously, approach, where you can use a device such as a PlayStation Portable, which is what we're going to do, to steal data off of a computer. And Rule is now going to come up here and describe in detail these three approaches.
All right. First one is a social engineering approach. That is when you take a USB stick, plug it in, it's going to pop a window up so you can trick somebody. I could walk up to Greg and I say, hey, Greg, I just went on vacation, took some really cool pictures. Take a look. So you pop the stick in, it brings up a window. What do you want to do with it? It says open view with Windows and picture, fax viewer, that thing. Hit OK. It pops up a window. You see different pictures. You're clicking through all the different folders. You're having a nice time looking at all my pictures. And meanwhile, the light's blinking. You're looking at that and thinking, no problem. Well, it's sucking down everything out of your My Documents directory. So we've got that on the first stick that I've got. The next one is if you've got somebody that's in your area or close by that you notice that the computer's unlocked, they get up, take a break, go get a cup of coffee, and you've got one of these USB sticks that we have also a U3 smart drive. You can take that, plug it into the back of their computer, go right back to your cube, sit down, come in the next morning before they do, leave after they do, whenever you want, come back, pull the stick out, put it in your machine. It automatically pulled down everything out of my documents directory. It can also be configured in the script to pick and choose wherever you want files to be taken from. And on the back thing, you could, if like Kevin had up there on the bullet point on that last slide, even if somebody's standing there, you could be talking to them. If they had their laptop positioned on the desk the right way, you could be just having a normal conversation, slide it out, slide a hand, plug it into the USB stick or port on the back of the laptop, same thing happens. The U3 USB drives are considered smart drives or smart USB sticks. They come from the factory to try making your life easier and simple, that you plug the thing in, it automatically is loaded with certain applications already on it that come to help do different things. You can download them, you can install different ones to it, so when you pop it in, it automatically runs different applications you want. They have two separate partitions on them. One's an ISO 9660 CD-ROM file system that is a very small partition, and then you've got the writable F drive, G, whatever it assigns it a drive letter, that is a writable USB stick. You can disable that, you can turn it off, you can uninstall the launcher, is what SanDisk, I think, has for theirs, the U3, and it'll just be used as a regular storage device. But by default, you plug it in, it's going to automatically pop up like a CD-ROM, and it's going to have applications ready to go. So in order to crack that, to get through it so we do what we want it to do, you have to use a third-party application to be able to customize the CD-ROM portion of it, because it's not writable. It looks like a CD-ROM, you can't write to it. So the application that does that very well is a U3 customizer. It's got a script in there that you put certain files that you want, all your everything that you've made, your script, you put it in a certain directory, you run the I think it's a command. But anyway, it creates an ISO file, puts it in another directory, and then it will run through its own routine that will write that information onto the U3 stick. So it puts your new, like, make it an ISO file or an ISO image, and it burns that onto the non-writable part of the U3 stick. All right. So the other one is the plays video games seriously approach. Anytime you go into most companies, if they have bag checks, I know they do them here randomly, I don't know how often they do them anymore, but if they go through and rummage through your bag or what you have, some places won't allow USB sticks even in the building. But if you have an iPod, they may know about that, that is a storage device. But if you pull out something that's like a PSP, it's a gaming device, they say, look at that, they'll look at it like it's a Nintendo Game Boy, something like that. Don't realize that's processor, memory, and storage capabilities that are plenty to pull off a lot of pertinent information off your hard drive. So when they see that in your bag, you just, even if they ask you about it, you just say, I play games at lunchtime. It's no big deal. They let you pass. So now what we're going to do is the demos, starting with the, are you going to cover the script first?
Yeah. We're
going to cover. Okay, so you'll cover the code, and then we'll do the demo. All right, Kevin's going to go through.
I'll let you scroll down. Okay, so just to point out, there is software out there for pod slurping. You can go find, Roel actually found one guy that wrote a pod slurper that does all this for us. We thought it would be a lot more useful if we would do all this on our own, write our own pod slurper. So that's what we did. What you see up here is the script that we put on the U3 drive. It's written in VBScript because VBScript is native to every Windows system. Every Windows system can accept VBScript without it being compiled. It'll just run automatically. So what I'm going to do is go through, I'm not going to go through line by line and bore you, but we're going to show you the basics of what this script does in order to steal your information. So the first thing that's important is line number one, where we basically tell this thing, if any errors happen, don't pop up a box that says, hey, an error happened, and alert somebody that we're trying to steal their files. So the first line suppresses errors, makes our script go on no matter what. Then we set up some variables. Basically, we need to connect to two parts of the system. We're going to connect to WScript to make a shell so that we can execute commands, just like from command prompt. And we need to connect to WMI, the Windows Management Instrumentation, so that we can query the computer to get information about it. Because we're going to need to know the computer name, we're going to need to know what drive letter it picked for our USB device, we're going to need to know where the My Documents folder is, things like that. And we also need to know things about the registry, because we're going to need to read the registry to be able to find some more information. All right, so the first thing we have to do in order to start sealing information is figure out what drive letter Windows picked for this drive that we just plugged in. I'm sure all of you know, you plug in a device to your system, you're expecting it to be drive letter F, you go and look in my computer, it's Q. Why? Who knows? Windows does that. So we can't always assume that it's going to be F or it's going to be G. We need to ask the system what it is. So what we're going to do is we're going to query the system. And if you don't know, WMI is pretty much a big SQL database on your Windows system that houses all information ever about your system. So we're going to ask it what disk partition and device IDs the system has, and we're going to narrow it down to specifically the SanDisk Cruiser because we know that's what we're using, the U3 SanDisk device. And we're going to ask it what letter it got. So that's what this whole block of code here does. You'll notice I'm assigning a drive letter variable down at the end. So now that we know what drive letter our device is, so we know where to write the files, we need to know where to get the files. So what we're going to do is get files from users My Documents folder, because that's normally where most people store their files. So in order to do this, we need to query the registry. WMI does not know where user profiles are stored. Only the registry knows that. Why do we have to query the registry? Why can't we just say C documents and settings? Well, Vista uses C users. If you have roaming profiles enabled, your profiles might be stored on a network server somewhere. So just like we can't assume that our drive is letter F, we can't assume that your user profile is in the same place on every system. So we have to ask for it. And that's pretty much all we do here with this one line, is read the registry and ask for profiles dir. And it gives us the directory where user profiles are stored. The next block of code, we want to know the computer name and the logged in username. What we use this for is on our drive, when we steal the data, we make a folder named the computer name that we're stealing it from. Just makes it easier for us to get it later. And we also need to know the username, who is currently logged into the system, because those are the files we're going to steal. We're not stealing files from everybody who's ever logged into the system, only the currently logged in user. So again, we're making a WMI query. It looks just like SQL with a select statement. And there are two columns we're going to get out of it, system name and full username. One thing you might notice, the full username comes out as domain/username. If you've ever opened up a command prompt and type set, that'll show you all your environment variables. You'll see the same form of username, domain/username, as a logged in user. So that's those two pieces of information that we get. Now we have everything we need. All we're going to do is run a simple command using our WScript shell that we made first couple lines of the file. Now you'll notice we're calling defaults.exe. What is that? It's xcopy. Every Windows machine has xcopy, but just before, we can't count on Windows machine to have xcopy. Maybe you deleted it. So we put xcopy on our drive. We renamed it to defaults.exe because if somebody just takes our drive and plugs it in, they're going to see defaults.exe. If they see xcopy, they might know something's up. If they see defaults.exe, oh, that's just a file that came factory on the drive. No big deal. We're going to let it go. So a lot of people won't be concerned with seeing a defaults.exe, but they would be concerned seeing xcopy.exe. So what we're going to do is we're going to run xcopy and copy profile path, username, my documents. So your whole my documents folder, **. We're going to copy it to whatever drive letter our pod slurper drive is plugged into with a computer name, a bunch of switches to make sure no errors happen. And we have a text file that excludes multimedia. We don't want to copy MP3s and movies. All we want are like Word docs, Excel files, business documents, things that can contain confidential information. So that's pretty much it. The last couple lines just clear out some memory so our pod slurper is efficient. We wouldn't want to hurt a system after we do this. So basically, that's pretty much it. That's an entire pod slurper right there. Is this VB script running?
Slurp, I like that.
The cool thing is how we get this to run. And now that I've explained this, Rule is going to show you these three things in action.
All right. First stick. This is the one that you're going up to your buddy and saying, hey, check out my pictures on my computer. This gets plugged in, handed to the guy. Hey, Kevin, would you like to see the pictures from my vacation?
You have good pictures from vacation.
Okay.
I would love to see those.
let's plug in my USB stick. So you plug it in, pops up a screen, and it tells you, this is from the auto run. You can change the icon that's at the top left, and you can also change the text in the highlighted area. So it says, view using the Windows Picture and Fax Viewer. Nice, Vanna. Thank you. So somebody looks at that. You're already trusting the person who's handing you the stick. So there's no red flag going up that anything bad's going to happen. It looks innocuous. So you say, okay. So you hit okay. The light blinks. It's loading up the pictures or directories. So you see different directories with names on them. Double-click on them. Say, hey, look at that. There's some Winter Music Conference from Miami pictures. So you look at that picture. You scroll through. You see another picture. Got some interesting folks. So you say, oh, that's enough of that. You go back up. Look in the other directory. Light's still blinking over here because it's reading from the directory. Looking at the different pictures. On and on. Keep going. So the more data you've got, the longer the light's going to keep on blinking. Hit the other directory. Look at some pictures. Slideshow. Hey, that's nice. Hey, dancing girls. So, anyway, get the gist. So now you're done looking at all the pictures. You pop your stick out. You take it back to your desk. You pull it out of here. Goes away out of his computer. Go back to your desk. Put it back into your computer. And instead of using the thing that we made that's going to trick you, you can go down to the open folder and view files. Now we have our pictures directory, which has everything that we had. And now we've got a directory with the computer name that says victim PC, which is the name of this computer. You open it up, it created a My Pictures directory because these are what are in my documents on the host computer. If you go over here and look in My Documents, we've got a My Pictures, Personal Files, Work Files, and Pod Slurping in the My Documents group. Here we have a My Pictures with Pico1, Pico2, Pico3, not really pictures, just there to show you. In the Personal Files, now we've got, oh, that's my ex-girlfriend picture, you don't want to see that. Work files, passwords. Hey, look at that. There are my passwords. Prototype budget, XLS. Prototype demo, it's an HTML document. Drawings in a zip file. And specs in an RTF or a Word document. So, just by having you, the user, tricked into plugging in a USB stick, opening it up, you just had everything that we wanted to get off of your computer. So, that is the first method of doing this. Second method is taking the USB stick, this is a U3 device, 16 gig, that is already been updated with the U3 customizer, our slurp code, everything on here, the ICO. Everything is also, if you had not turned on show hidden files and folders, everything is just blank when you plug it in. So you have to have that to even see the icon, the slurp, the X copy, well, renamed X copy. So this stick, you plug it in where nobody's looking. Or you see somebody left their machine unattended, you plug it in, you walk away, you come back and get it. Light's blinking, it's doing its thing. So the auto run part is on the CD-ROM, it loads up, and then writes everything to the USB stick portion of it. So we open up the directory on this, we look here, you see event photos, which is E, you click on that, nothing there, everything's hidden. So you can go down to folder options, view, show hidden files and folders. Okay, hey, look at that. There's our auto run. There's our defaults script, our script, or defaults X copy, the exclude file, the image file. Here we got the removable disk. Open that up. Hey, there's a victim PC directory. So that has all the same information that we just had before. So you don't think it was a Presto changeo that we had these files on here ahead of time. We'll get rid of those. Also, in the auto run, we have it so you explore or open, and it both triggers the auto run, and it'll do the same thing. So if you hit explore, it shows nothing because you're already exploring it. Oh, our script ran, and there's a directory being created because it's being slurped. So there it goes. There's the same thing. Got the pictures, got the personal files, got your work files. So that is number two. Third way is the PSP. Gaming device that nobody suspects as any sort of harm or any kind of a threat. Plug in USB mode. This is for disgruntled employee. You don't want to trick anybody. This is you just walking up, plugging it into either your own computer, and you know your files are on your drive, but you want to get out the door undetected. So from here, open the file or the folder to view what's in here. Got this typical format of a PSP. I made a slurp PSP directory. Inside of that, we've got our files. You run the script, and it does the same thing. Goes, all the script runs, pulls the information it needs. And that's not cool. One moment. And we have a technical issue. So, anyway, it does the same thing as the first stick. You run it, tested this 50 times. One time it dies and doesn't work. So, anyway, you can do the same thing with the USB enabled type of a device that's either an iPod, gaming device, anything that's got a USB interface and it's got writable storage to it. You can do the same thing with it.
All right, so that's it. Anybody have any questions on anything you just saw? Sure. Let's go in the back with John.
The one where you said you put it in the back and walk away.
Right.
Does it have to be unlocked for that to work?
It does have to be unlocked. If a machine is locked, Auto Run will not execute anything.
Once they unlock,
Auto Run does not kick off. So a machine needs to be unlocked while you plug these in. So, yeah.
Is it equally as easy to do this on other operating systems, non-Windows?
Honestly, I don't know. That was the thing, if we had more time, I wanted to do was make a device that you could plug into a Mac, a Linux box, or a Windows machine. I don't know how Auto Run works on Macs and Linux machines to be able to do this. Obviously, if you don't have a GUI on a Linux machine like GNOME or KDE, you're screwed. But that was the thing I was going to look into. Yeah, the Mac would probably prompt you for your password. One last thing I want to point out. Hey, so Rule got it to work on the PSP.
So there it is. Victim PC directory got created.
Yeah. So I did a write-up on this explaining the script more on kevinslonka.com. You all can go there. All the files we use are there. So if any of you want to try this, literally everything we use, the U3 customizer, the scripts, the installer, everything that we use is there in a zip file. It's a tarball, whatever. But you can go there, read more detail than what we went over tonight, get everything, try it out for yourself. Don't get caught. I'm not going to jail if you F up. So,
and these are the files I was talking about, the U3 customizer. You take your files, put them in the U3 custom, you fill this up with whatever you want, and you run this ISO create command script batch file, and it will take those files, create an ISO, dump them in the bin directory, which it'll create a U3 custom ISO, and then once this is running, it'll take the information that's in there, take that ISO, burn it to the U3 stick. The LP installer is a way to get it back to being a normal U3 USB stick, so it'll write it back to original.
Yeah, the worst thing is doing what we've done and forgetting that our device is malicious and plugging it back into our machine. Yeah, it's not good.
I know myself.
Is it possible on Windows to lock down like read-write access, like admin rights, or you say? Could you like have like some normal users print write to USB drive, but if you knew you had to for some reason, you could like do like a run as?
I don't know about the run as. Through our research, we never found anything that could limit it based on username. But if you are an admin, you can just modify the registry to flip write access back on when you need to. And we were able to do that without a reboot. So even though Microsoft says you need to reboot for this to take effect, you can just swap write protecting on and off without rebooting. So that's the long way around doing it.
And I can disable the USB store. I've got a registry file actually created to do that in the registry. It's not a GPO. Yes, it added that. I'll plug this disk, this stick in, that popped up the pictures, light comes on. After reboot, the light doesn't even come on, but the USB store driver doesn't even load. So now I've got this plugged in that before popped up a window, now it does nothing. So we'll back out, run the registry key and all your settings of D word from 3 to 4, set that, plug back in, it back in. Love technology.
Yeah, at least this isn't like Bill Gates' initial Windows thing where blue screened.
That's blue screen.
Yeah, at least we're not blue screening anything.
It does definitely work, and I tried it at my desk before we came, and it does work without a reboot.
Yeah, we promise you that everything we have here does work, whether or not it works up here.
Right. It will work. And another tip, which is not really a mitigating technique, but on USB devices, if you hold the shift key down on insertion, auto run will not run. So that's just a tip that if you're not sure, you find a rogue USB device laying around, you can hold the shift key down, plug it in. It's not going to open up. But I would recommend using, when you right-click on it, expand, because you can, which I'm not positive, you may be able to create that in the auto run for the files, that you can do that. But if you do the open or explore, you can set that in the auto run.inf to show that.
I thought you had the files on here. That's the auto run file.
I think I do that's in here. No, I don't.
Anyways, what Rule was talking about earlier is that we had the auto run come up, so when you clicked, yes, I want to view Windows Picture Fax Viewer to view our photos, it would run our script. What he also did in the auto run file is make it so if somebody's sneaky and they think they can beat us and they can right click and open and get around our script, it's still going to do it. If they right click and hit explore to try to get around our script, it's still going to do it. So he basically made everything on the right-click menu run our script. So no matter what you did, your files are going to be copied.
But the expand is the only one that will safely open up. But anyway,
does anybody have any other questions?
Did you try running on Vista?
No.
Did you get like a pop-up test? I mean, you know.
We didn't have a Vista machine to test it on. Yeah.
So this is still, it's old stuff. Abe Usher came up with this in 2005, I think it was, coined the term, and he's done a lot of research with it. It's not new technology. There are new breaking ground stuff that we discovered or anything. It's just something that we hadn't heard about before of this much depth anyway. So we thought it would be a fun
topic. This is
the
best presentation I've had so far on the pod swapping.
Good.
Because when I first put it into this course, people said, what is it? I've heard of it before. Thank you.
All right.